pray. O God, by Your Spirit, plant Your Word within us, that we may follow Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and never leave Him. May we find our home in Your kingdom and our life in Your Spirit. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I just want to speak for a few moments today on the subject, the way ahead. Joshua 3, beginning at verse number 1, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So today, this particular passage that we're looking at considers the transfer of leadership from Moses to Joshua and the advance of the people into their promised land. This is God's order always, that we should recognize that God is not a God that likes to just go random. I'm not used to this microphone up here close. How do you feel my pain? God is not a haphazard, let's just fly by the seat of our pants kind of God. Okay? He's a God of order. God likes transition. And believe it or not, God even likes change. Because time is moving constantly. You know, it's like the old philosophy. If you studied any philosophy, you know, can you ever stand in the same stream two times? Remember that philosophical question? Well, you can't. You could go to the exact same place, but the conditions have already changed. The waters went by, on and on and on. Well, everything is a constant state of moving, and we forget this oftentimes, that God, even in creation, the Spirit was moving on the waters. God was moving right in the beginning, and He moves all through Scripture. Matter of fact, for the children of Israel, you remember how they went from Egypt to the Promised Land? They had to follow a couple of things. Anybody remember any of that?
Yeah.
So help me out there. What was that?
The cloud and the pillar of fire.
So they have this nice cloud sort of shielding them, not only leading them, but even sort of shielding them from the hot desert sun. And then at night, you know how cold it gets in the desert at night? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. So then they have this pillar of fire. So they follow. God is leading them. And you know, it's really the same way in our lives. God is leading us constantly. We are comfortable with the static. We are comfortable with the immovable steadfastness of God. Upon this rock I stand or sit, and I never shall move. But God also is a God who moves, and He continually moves through time. You know, time's really only relative to us. You know what I'm saying? That God really exists outside of time at the same time He's in time. Right? And He existed before time and He'll exist after time. So time's really a relative to us. And God's constantly moving, constantly in a state of movement. Matter of fact, the Bible even ends with these words, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So then if you go into the middle of the Bible, okay, we start in the beginning, the Spirit's moving on the face of the water, and we go to the end, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. What do we find in the middle? All those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Well, when you're leading somebody, you're going somewhere, right? So God is a God of movement, and it is God's order to pass things from one generation to the other. Moses here is a father figure, really, to the nation of Israel. And there comes a time when Moses' ministry has to be passed to the next generation. The tragedy of Christianity, if I can be so bold, is that we oftentimes fail in the transfer. You know, we fumble a lot of handoffs. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot that should have been passed to the next generation, and we didn't teach them how to get a hold of that, what we were carrying in our generation, and hand it off. Sometimes it's a failure because one generation don't want to let go of the football. It's time for the next generation to begin to play, and we've got it, and we're not going to let go of it. And then other times the other generation don't want to grab it. So, but there's a real responsibility for us to intentionally pass what we have on to those who come behind us. And that is the story of the Bible. It's the story of, anybody remember Elijah and Elisha? You remember that? That's the ideal for us, really, is Elijah had a great, let's just say, thing from God. You know, because it's really hard to capture Elijah because he was kind of a thing himself, if you know his story. So Elijah had a great thing from God. But you know what Elijah did? He passed it to Elisha. And Elisha had the double portion of what Elijah had. And that should be always the goal for us, is to pass something on to those who come behind us. In other words, leave it better than you found it. That should always be the goal of anybody who's walking with God. Matter of fact, Paul says to Timothy, I'm trying to get through the introduction here, we will, I promise you. Paul says to Timothy, he says, what you have received, commit it to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. That's how Christianity advances through the ages. That's the ideal. God saves families. Did you know that? That the intention of God is to come in and to establish His covenant with a family and to save an entire family. And that family is to pass it on down through the generations. There really should never be a church attendance problem in Christianity if you get right down to it. All right? It's kind of my last sermon, so I might just plow a little deep today, okay? Because we're just going to sing and have fun next Sunday, okay? So let me just be real direct. There should really never be a church attendance problem in Christianity, because the responsibility of one generation is to teach and to transfer everything that they've received to the next generation and make sure that those who follow behind them are better off than they were. That's the biblical responsibility. Matter of fact, when God calls Abraham, you might say the original covenant of Christianity, okay? He establishes this covenant. It says that he called Abraham because he would teach his children. What? Now, of course, God knew he would teach his children. I don't want to get into all of that, but that is in there. That is in there. He made a covenant with a family who would transfer it to the next generations. And let me tell you, there were some stinkers in the line that followed Abraham. But that covenant's a powerful thing if we will believe it and walk in it. Amen. So today I want to make just some observations from this passage that could apply to our lives. First of all, I just want to make this statement. Many times change is not easy, but it is often necessary for growth and advancement. Moses had had an effective and a wonderful ministry, right? I mean, Moses is legendary. I mean, we're talking Red Sea parting. We're talking 2.5 million people. That's leadership. He led these people out of Egyptian bondage. Anybody remember the plagues? I mean, that's legendary, isn't it? How about the Passover and the death angel that comes through? That's not an easy act to follow for Joshua. Would you agree with me on that? But still, there came a time when Moses' ministry was over. And it wasn't just that we just wait and see. God made sure that Moses deliberately transferred what he had done to those that followed him. It was a deliberate transfer. Moses could look back on many victories, but you know what else? He could look back on many struggles. Those old rascals rebelled against him many times. You remember the time when he goes up to get the Ten Commandments written on stone by the finger of God? That's pretty significant, would you say? Right? He comes down, and I don't even want to tell you what the people are doing. You have to read that one yourself to believe it, but it is not good. Okay? It is Friday night in Las Vegas. Let's just say that. Everything but the slot machines. But they did have gold earrings and they were melting it. There came a time, even in the ministry between Moses and Joshua, there came a time when the manna ceased. And they were called to go possess their inheritance in the kingdom. You realize that a shift had come. It was a time to adjust and to go forward in order to claim their inheritance and the promises that God had ahead for them. There is a biblical principle of possession. Now, I'm not talking about a horror movie here or something, okay, when I say possession. I'm talking about taking possession of something that God promises us. There's a time when a father relinquishes responsibility in the family business, as it were, to the son. Well, the kingdom of God, the Bible says, allows violence. Did you know that? That Jesus made the statement that the kingdom of God allows violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, there's some different interpretations of that passage, but what I want you to see is John the Baptist was succeeded by Jesus. And John clearly knew what the kingdom was about. Okay? And John deliberately made the statement, he must increase and I must decrease. Okay? There was a transfer that was going on there. He understood the principle. Well, we're challenged in Scripture to take our inheritance in the kingdom. There's a pressing into the greater things of God that must occur. We must take possession of the things that God promises us, or we don't receive them. That's a reality. There's a time in our spiritual maturation when we stop receiving daily manna and begin praying for daily bread. The Israelites had it made, didn't they? For 40 years, all they had to do was go out in the morning and there is the manna on the desert floor. But there came a time when the manna ceased. And God told them, now you have to plant and you have to harvest. You have to get engaged in this thing. There comes a time when the daily manna ceases and we pray for daily bread. Jesus fed thousands. Anybody remember those stories? Right? Aren't those great stories? But isn't it interesting and maybe mind-boggling for today's culture that somebody didn't capture that and turn that into a bread-making machine? Right? I mean, surely, if Jesus on a couple of occasions fed the multitude, fed thousands with bread that He produced, How is it that that was not turned in to some system where people would never have to work, and all they'd have to do is go sit on a hillside somewhere and wait for Jesus to multiply the bread? That would go over real well today. Amen? Anybody? But it didn't happen. What Jesus actually told them is to pray for their daily bread. Didn't we just do it earlier? See, here's the truth. We expect things to operate on autopilot. We expect God to take care of everything without our involvement. We just want to go about and do our thing. And God's supposed to take care of our spiritual life, our family, our church. And then we're pretty upset when things don't always work the way that we want them to. But aren't we supposed to be on autopilot? We like cruise control. Life is often like a busy interstate. I experienced it this week as I went down the interstate and I kept trying to set the cruise control. Have you ever went through Cleveland or one of those places where you try to set the cruise control and you can't keep it set for more than an eighth of a mile? Because it's constant. It's like an accordion thing, and it's, and eventually you give up. That's what real life is like. We have little periods where we get to cruise a little bit, but most of the time we have to stay engaged and take possession of the kind of life that we want.